Hi, welcome to another edition of It's All About Relationship. I'm David Novak, and this is episode number 78. So glad you joined us today. If you are a first-time listener, you are in for a big treat today. And if you're a returning listener, hey, thanks for being so faithful to us. We really definitely appreciate that. Just a little business before we get on with it. Obviously, as I mentioned, the name of the podcast is It's All About Relationship, and I bring that up because we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and I would love for you to come follow us and check those things out. They go by the same name. Well, actually, on Instagram, it's called David Novak Podcast. That's N-O-V-A-K, David Novak Podcast. And on Facebook, it's actually titled It's All About Relationship. And if you're interested, you are more than welcome to follow me as an actor, too. We'd love for you to do that. David Novak, actor on Facebook. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? Oh, Twitter. Same. David Novak, actor. Let's see. Anyway, on and on with all that kind of stuff. So, as you know, the reason we do this is to bless people. That's why we do this. It's called It's All About Relationship, because we want to help encourage you to have a closer relationship, most especially with God, and a closer relationship with others, and even yourself, Think about that. That's kind of a heavy thing if you think about it. You have to love yourself in order to love others, right? So that's kind of where we're going with that. But we want to encourage you. We don't do this for money. We never ask for money. It's a ministry thing, okay? It's my side thing as an actor, because I'm a faith-based person, and that's where I'm coming from. So, as I mentioned, this is episode number 78, and for most of the episodes, you've listened to me, yours truly, drone on and on with thoughts, ideas, and encouragement. I'm not a teacher. I'm an encourager. That's what I do. But from time to time, we've had some special guests that have come on, and we've actually done it like three times in a row now. It's kind of a new trend we're doing. It won't always be guests, but sometimes it will be. But today you have the treat of having another special guest that you get to listen to and I get to spend time with too. Before I tell you who it is, I'm going to give you some background. It's called the tease. So that's what we do. So anyway, my special guest, it's a woman, right? It's a national, international movie, digital TV producer, director, and coach. Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful already, right? She also serves as dialect, voiceover performer, and coach, and journalist for family and redemptive movies and media. And currently she produces, directs, and casts for digital TV series. You might want to check out her IMDb page, but I can't tell you that yet, until I tell you her name. But I'm not going to do that yet, because we have more. She's a former professor of performance media and film studies with a PhD in performance studies. She's also enjoyed in recent years working as a dialect and dialogue coach for feature redemptive movies such as Return to the Hiding Place and Alone Yet Not Alone. Pretty cool, huh? Furthermore, she's enjoyed working as a journalist, and she does writing ongoing articles based on exclusive interviews. She's done work with Austin Movie Examiner, and she's worked with Movie Guide. She has a BA in English and music. I am so impressed with this woman, I can't even tell you. She earned her PhD in curriculum and instruction research with a specialization in performance studies in the School of Communication at the University of Texas in Austin, and I'm going to tell you more, just a tiny bit more. She's been a professional actor and teacher for, should I say the amount of years? Over 40 sure. years. Over 40 years, because she started when she was five. So she's 40, 45. Right? She's been a university professor of performance studies and film for 25 years. And welcome to the show, Diane Howard.
Thank you.
It's so awesome having you.
You're very, very gracious, very sweet.
Oh, well, you're sweet yourself. Diane, I've got a couple of questions to ask you here, and we were talking before we started running the show. We had some fun stuff, and I definitely want to get into some of that again and bring that up. But let me ask you a couple quick questions. How did you get started in the entertainment business, and especially faith-based projects?
Well, oh my goodness.
Uh-oh.
I think basically, I'm trying to put this simply.
I put you on the spot.
Maybe I should just, it's really at the heart of who I am. I just have always been involved in the performing arts and both on all sides, on stage, as producer, director, with film, on camera, you know, as producer, director on the other side. But I've just always been a creative person, and I've always been on the front lines of new developments in the performing arts and in media. So change is something I'm comfortable with, you know. So these days I'm grateful that I have that background, because we have seismic changes going on today.
Oh, yeah, we do.
But I think a lot of good is coming out of all of them. But how did I, oh my goodness, that's just been my life. I just have always been involved in the performing arts in one way or the other my entire life. I've been a singer and played the piano and have been involved in all kinds of productions.
I didn't know you were a singer too. Did you do school plays and that kind of thing too?
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, when we lived in California, I remember as a child being in a Shakespearean play, Midsummer Night's Dream. You know,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it's, you know, how did it start? Oh, my gosh, I think from the beginning.
Well, one of my other questions, which you've already answered, was have you always been drawn to the creative arts? I mean, I'm looking at that question.
Definitely.
You've already answered that for sure.
Definitely.
Way back when. How did you come to know the Lord, if you don't mind me asking you that?
Well, that's another question that relates to today as well, also relates to my comfort with change and even living in tumultuous times. But Dave and I, my husband and I, were both students at the University of Oregon during the Jesus Movement. Mm. And I had grown up in a military family. As a matter of fact, I went to the University of Oregon because we were residents of Oregon, although my father was a colonel in the Army. He was in Vietnam during that time, and when I went to the University of Oregon. So it was harrowing for me to walk by the free speech platform every day where people were haranguing the military and, you know, were anti-war and anti-Vietnam. It was so much like today with the anti-police. It was very much like that. It was horrible. Really, was a nasty time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was all at the University of Oregon was like a mini Berkeley. So it was just freedom of everything. You know, it was freedom in a bad way.
Right.
It was just horrible. You know, the whole drug thing was out of control and all the promiscuity and all of that. And so it was pretty horrible. But I remember that I'd always have to walk by the free speech platform to go to class. And there were some guys there standing behind the free speech platform, one of whom later became my husband, Dave. And they were standing behind the speaker. And they're actually, I learned later, praying for him and praying for all of us, probably praying for me as I was drawn to that event. But they were talking about having a personal relationship with God and with Christ. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. It was like 180 degrees from what normally went on the free speech platform. And that night they invited the crowd that for an event that night called the College Life Meeting. And I went, and even though I had grown up in a religious family, we went to church regularly, and well, I'll just tell you that I was a Lutheran, but also went to military chaplains services, and went to a Episcopal girls' school, as a matter of fact. So I had a lot of religious training and had a strong faith in God. But I remember going to one of the sisters at our school in Hawaii, St. Andrew's Priory, and asking her how I could have a personal relationship with God, and she couldn't tell me. Oh, that's something I wanted.
Seriously? She couldn't give you an answer on that?
Not tell me. Even though we went to chapel every day and we studied the scriptures, it was just amazing. Mm. So that's something I longed for. And I'll tell you exactly what happened, because my testimony is kind of an anomaly. It's a little bit unique. I actually had a really wonderful freshman year. I was a music major. And my father, he just insisted that I figure out a way to pay for college. And he would send me $100 a month, and that was it. And so I decided to try out for the Miss Eugene pageant, where I could get a scholarship and all kinds of other amenities. And lo and behold, I won it. And became Miss Eugene for the University of Oregon. But what happened was that only made me more aware that there was something missing in my life. And I was going to church all by myself. I'd go to the local Lutheran church. Everything was going so well, but I just felt like there was a vacuum. And that night when I went to the college life meeting, they shared how Christ was knocking at the door of our hearts and that we could let him in. And I remember thinking or praying, Lord, if you're really alive and if you're there, I want you to come into my life. And the amazing thing was the next day, from then on, the Bible just came alive to me, and I had been immersed in the Bible all my life.
Well, he filled you with the Spirit of God right there.
Absolutely. And I just was absolutely, began a personal relationship with God at that point. Mm-hmm. And, it was right in the middle of all of that tumult that was going on at the University of Oregon. So, you know, I see that same thing happening today where, you know, some of these groups that are emerging have called it revival or riots.
Right,
but,
exactly.
Yeah. Right in the midst of all of this tumult that's going on, we have all kinds of emerging revivals. So it's like I'm reliving the time that I lived earlier when I was in college. Mm-hmm. Really. Really amazing.
And
that's how I became a Christian.
Yeah, that's a story. So you were about, 19, 18, something like that, right in there, college?
Yes. Well, actually, I guess 19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the riots and all that stuff going on. I mean, there's so much obvious opportunity for revival right now. And as we were talking before the show, is that really believe that that's happening in what's going on right now. The churches have been forced to redirect their resources. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but
absolutely.
We're so used to going to church in a building, you know, whatever, and now everybody's streaming, which is actually awesome.
Right.
I totally agree. Yeah, even the church I go to, it's in Yorba Linda. It's kind of a smaller church. There's only about, maybe 300 people or a little bit less there. But since we've been streaming, our numbers are 1,000, 1,500 and from all over the world.
Yeah, ours are like that too.
Yeah.
And I think most churches are like that.
Yeah.
And today. The other thing, David, that I want to make sure I interject here because mm-hmm. it's really amazing. But, you know, some of the notable people at that time who became Christians during that period of what's now called the Jesus Revolution were Mike Huckabee and Greg Laurie and a lot of other national and international leaders. And among our we had a little cohort of leaders on our campus who went on and are still today leaders of Christian organizations all around the world. So it's just amazing because the Lord raised them up at that time and it prepared them all their lives for what's going on now.
Yeah.
It's just totally amazing to see that. So it's, you know, I'm just so grateful that I've been able to see the bookends.
Exactly, exactly. You mentioned Mike Huckabee. I really have huge respect for him. I really.
Oh, I know. Hank Irwin is another one who became a Christian. Look what's happened with his his sons and so forth. Yeah. So it's amazing. I'm not at all afraid about what's going on today. I think that also. As I've studied the scriptures, I've just seen that the Lord is the purifier. He sifts us, and in Romans 1, you see how when people do not acknowledge Him or defy Him, He lets them go, and they destroy themselves. And the word that I think really characterizes what's going on today is implode.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this evil is imploding. It imploded in when I was in college, and it's imploding again today. And out of it is new growth, new revival, new reformation. Fortunately, I think we're going to see more and more new beginnings. So it's all good. You know, it may not be comfortable, but I think it's...
Well, the battle lines are definitely being drawn, aren't they? I mean, for sure. There's not a lot of gray area anymore. It seems like you're either on this side or that side. I mean, you're either for the Lord or you're completely on the other side. There's not a lot of neutral stuff going on right now.
And the other thing that I have that I just want to say too that I think has been something I've seen all of my life, and it just fits with the person that I am as a creative person, because I've always been on the cutting edge of something brand new and a whole new way of doing things. And but I think the word that I think describes God and the way He works for me almost more than anything is unexpected. You know, my whole life I've seen Him work with the most unexpected people in the most unexpected situations. And you see that in the scriptures, you know, over and over and over again.
Right.
And He uses us not in our strength, but in our weakness. So, you know, His ways are ironic. They're paradoxical. They're the opposite of what we would probably do without Him.
Right.
Exactly. And do without Him.
You mentioned weak people doing things. Peter comes to mind especially. I mean, Peter was a hothead. He had a little bit of a temper, and God, I mean, look what he did. Look what Jesus did in Peter's life. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah. And David, David's one of my big heroes to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. This poor guy, I mean, yes, he was an adulterer. He was a killer.
Right.
And he did all these things. But yet the word says that he had a heart after mine, God said.
Exactly. But you just see that all the way through the scriptures. All the way through. All of the heroes and the leaders have those kinds of stories. So, why would we be surprised that God would be working any differently today?
Exactly. So if you're out there and you're thinking God can't use me, think again, right?
Right. No kidding. I totally agree. Yeah.
So what? And go ahead.
No, it's exciting, actually. And I, you know, when for us who keep our eyes on the Lord and walk with Him each day, it's exciting. It's quite an adventure because there are always new developments that we don't anticipate that are just amazing.
Yeah, we definitely want to encourage everybody out there that's listening. And I don't know if I told you this, Diane, but we've actually had listeners in 22 different countries And
fantastic.
I mean, I don't know how many still listen in those countries, but we have had listeners in 22 countries and 30, last time I looked, 35 states, I think it is. But the point being is that we're trying to get the word out, and we're trying to encourage people to, you know, to for a deeper relationship with the Lord. And boy, in these times of trial, I guess, in these times, I mean, we need God more than anything right now. So I encourage.
Oh, no kidding.
If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, hey, it's free. It's free. And now's
right.
The,
no kidding. And it's wonderful.
It is wonderful. Now's the time to do it. Right. So.
Right. No kidding. Yeah. And, you know, again, when you speak about other countries, it's God is working today, and just the most unexpected places. Iran is probably one of the most remarkable, because there's a huge spiritual revival and revolution going on in Iran and other Mideast countries. God is just working in amazing ways. So, here they are, supposedly our enemy. I guess the leaders are, but among the people, there's just a growing Christian movement, and it's happened in Brazil and many other unexpected places.
Right. Exactly. And glory to God for that. Right. Absolutely.
Yes. No kidding. It's fabulous.
So what's next in Diane's life?
Oh goodness. I don't know. I just, you know, every day I'm just seeking the Lord and just willing to go where he wants me to go. And, now you were graciously referring to my age, but actually I'm probably older than you are, but I'm in my mid-70s, and I'm still going strong. I'm just totally amazed. I'm the same age as Ted Baer at Movie Guy. Almost exactly. So you know, it's just amazing that God continues to use us and protect us and open up new doors of ways to serve him. Mm-hmm. So probably the one common thing, like you, David, the Lord has given me the gift of encouragement. And so all my spiritual life, I've been encouraging other believers, and especially leaders, in any way I possibly can. So that's the thing I continue to do, you know, through this interview, largely through my writing. I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of interviewing. I've interviewed many of the very leading figures in what I call redemptive movies. Mm. And some of the leading people. I mean, and it's just been such a pleasure. But my desire has been to encourage people like Tyler Perry. I got to interview him.
Oh, did you really?
And
that's great.
Yeah, and Jennifer Garner and Denzel
really?
Washington. Yeah, and John Voight.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
They're just the loveliest people.
Now, those interviews that you just mentioned, is there somewhere where we can go check that out?
Well, they're all on my website.
Okay.
They're all there. So the links are all there on one page or the other. But it's just been, you know, I've just been so amazed. I'll never forget when I went to, oh my goodness, Tyler Perry paid my way to go to LA to interview him for one of his movies, and also his book, Hire is Waiting. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the green room saying to one of the people that were involved in organizing that event, I said, "Do you guys realize how old I am?" And they said, "Yes, that's why we wanted you. You know, you have a wise perspective, and that's what we want." So isn't that cool?
I love that. I really do love that. But you know what? I got to tell you, I'm looking at your picture on my computer right now on your website, and there's no way you look mid-70s.
Well,
no way.
I actually still look fairly youthful, which is
you
pretty
do.
Amazing.
You absolutely
thank,
do.
Thank you. Now, I feel youthful too, which is really just totally amazing. Really, really amazing. And then I guess the other One of the other interviews that our group of interviews I got to do was with Roma Downey and Mark Burnett and the whole cast and crew and directors of Ben-Hur. And spent several days there with what was called a faith summit. And so we were with leaders from all over the country supporting that movie. And again, you know, the bottom line for me is wanting to encourage those people, support them. There's so many, many dear people in media today. And you know, David, another thing, I'm just going to kind of jump into something that has been amazing to me, because there's with all of these seismic changes that are going on, we hear a lot of, angst about the mainstream media and so forth. However, there's been a huge, huge change. You know, it started with, of course, in movies with The Passion of the Christ, I think in 2004, but then with digital filmmaking, it went from there to streaming. And it, you know, just, I mean, I think most people today don't use cable or don't even look at mainstream media. You know, I stream what news I want to stream. And when I just go to YouTube, I mean, almost every day there is some wise person who is speaking about today's events from a depth and breadth of knowledge. I mean, there are lots of very, very knowledgeable, eloquent, brilliant people available today on their own, like yourself, on podcasts and YouTube little news casts. And I mean, it's possible to get just the richest news today. You know, we just don't have to terrorized by the mainstream media at all.
That's a good way to put it. Terrorized by the mainstream media. That's exactly right. You know, I was thinking back earlier today. I was thinking back about 10 years ago, and 10 years ago is not that long when you think about it. And look how much.
Right.
Look how everything has changed so much. Especially in every area that you just mentioned, having to do with streaming and podcasts and YouTube and everything else. And 10 years ago, I mean, huge difference. But like you said, go ahead.
Well, and there's so many areas like that, you know, where we've had such angst. You know, our educational system, I think many of us have been really very concerned about all the indoctrination, dangerous indoctrination that has been going on in our schools. And yet today, because of the COVID situation, now parents are beginning to have more choice than ever before, and they're taking more responsibility than before. And I think kids are going to have less access to all this indoctrinating content.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, even though we've got all these seismic changes going on, there's so many answers to prayer today, right in the midst of all of that change and all of that tumult. So God, talk about creative. He's the one who's creative. I mean, he brings such good in such creative ways.
Oh, I know.
You know, that we don't expect. It's just amazing.
You know, I was thinking also that, you know, we meaning the government, banned prayer in school years ago, right? And now with all the homeschooling, the Christian moms and dads, like you are alluding to, are being able to teach the kids, you know, prayer in school.
Absolutely.
Because it's homeschool now you know, teaching the word of God and all that kind
Absolutely.
Of
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's hope. There is hope.
Absolutely. And there are so many new wonderful outreaches to kids today. Of course, Nick Hall is another one I've had a chance to interview. He's the Pulse leader. And he, before the COVID thing, he filled the whole motorway here, Speedway in Dallas, filled it. And it's his ministry is to kids.
Wow.
And the basis of it is basically fundamentally about prayer. But there are other ministries like that. I could just name one after the other that are brand new outreaches to young people. So there's so much going on behind the scenes. You know, the only thing is you have to find that news. You do have to dig for it, because the mainstream media, as we put it, does not, or, you know, Google right. either. It's not going to spoon feed that to us, and it's going to, a lot of that's going to be kind of buried. But I've found, like, I use Google Alerts, which is where you put in, like, paradigm shifts in education, some kind of a search term, and then they'll send to your email articles on that subject. Well, I've been using that and some other things, too, to trace the paradigm changes in many, many areas beyond what we just mentioned, education and media. But so with digging, doing some searching, even on YouTube, you have to search, mm-hmm. you know, for the right kinds of content. But really, with a little bit of searching, you can find that there are amazing things going on.
Oh, yeah. You can find anything, amazing. Anything at all you need to find, you can find on YouTube. Even a lot of worthless things, but anything
right.
you need. Anything you need. So.
But every day, I you know, what time I do spend on it, it's really wonderful content.
Yeah.
And I've just learned so much. I've learned so much more since we've gone to this kind of a paradigm shift mm-hmm. than old form of providing news. So anyway, God is at work in amazing, creative, unexpected ways. That's for sure.
It is for sure. Before we go, can you, if people want to check out your website or follow you on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, can you let everybody know the names of all those sites for us?
Well, they're all actually on my own website, which is just dianehoward.com.
Okay.
And so they can find it there. And my Facebook is there.
Okay.
LinkedIn is there. And all my acting sites, like, you know, IMDb, it's all there.
That's linked through your site, too?
It's all there on my site, okay, right? And I keep it updated with, you know, all the latest things I'm doing. But,
cool.
But David, it's, you know, here we are. You know, we may be the old guys, but man, we're still hanging in there.
We are. You and I, babe, we are hanging in there.
I know. And the funny thing is I have more people after me about writing and doing various projects than I've ever had in my life, more than I can possibly handle.
Oh, wow.
It's so, you know, there's nothing wrong with being this age. Actually, I kind of like it. It's kind of exciting.
How cool is that? Hey, before we go,
great.
We go on you gave us the websites and everything. Is there like a last, a little bit of encouragement or prayer or just something you want to share with our listeners today?
Well, maybe I should share with you one other thing that I think that's really important. My doctoral research was basically on the topic of role models. And I actually measured how role models affect those who identify with them. And on the quantitative side of the research, where I had to use statistics to measure it, I used a construct called locus of control. And it's something that's used in many, many fields in psychology, education, and many other fields. And it has to do with, this is really important, but it has to do with what I attribute, and that's a key word too, what I attribute to having control over my life. If I have internal locus of control, I have a sense of responsibility and accountability. If I have external locus of control, I have a sense of being controlled by factors outside of myself, like Candace Owens and many other African American leaders today, especially who are Christians, are talking about the importance of not feeling that like you are a victim, but right. that you have the power to, with God's help, to control your life and to make choices about your life, and that none of us have to live as victims. So I think that has really been important to me, and that's sort of at the heart of the movies that I choose to interview for,
right,
or write for. They, and oftentimes, like the Irwin brothers, they're doing more and more movies based on real stories. But these are almost always stories of people who were underdogs, mm-hmm, but who had internal locus of control. They were going to take charge of their life and be responsible and accountable no matter who they were and no matter how many disabilities they had. You see a lot of those kind, actually, the Highway to Heaven, the whole
right,
old series, Highway to Heaven, you see that same kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that have a lot of counts against them, how they learn to overcome those and to have internal locus of control. But anyway, when those kinds of stories are really important, because if the audience identifies with those characters,
yes,
it will change their locus of control. Locus of control is a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
So you can move from external to internal, and you can be very strongly influenced by what you watch and the role models you see. So that's another thing I continue. That just goes, that's a thread that goes through all my work. But
another reason we have to get redemptive movies out there more and more, right?
Yeah, and we are, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess I want to say before we go that God is our refuge and strength.
Yes.
And ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth is transformed and the mountains are toppled into the depths of the sea, though their waters roar and foam and the mountains quake in their surge. Our God works all things together for good.
Yes.
And he does bring beauty out of ashes, and he does use his people to accomplish that.
Amen.
So we just need to stay steady in him, in prayer, keep our eyes on him, and trust that he is renewing, restoring, and reviving all of us.
Absolutely. Amen. I agree with every last word you just said there. Hey, Diane.
Okay. Well, God bless. All right.
God bless you. Hey,
God bless you.
Don't hang up, though. Don't hang up.
Even when I
close the show, I want to talk to you. But
all right. Okay. God bless you, David.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Diane. I really appreciate that. Hey, everybody, make sure you go check out Diane Howard's website. That's DianeHoward.com. You can check out her interviews, which sounded really, really interesting to me. So I'm going to go check them out even more, too. Anyway, catch us on the next episode of It's All About Relationships.